That name. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear singing, especially good singing, amen, and the Spirit moves, I get the hairs on my arm will start kind of, you know what I mean? You just inside, you just, the Spirit moves. And sometimes, you know, you think about it, and it's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a warm feeling just moves over you. And maybe even a tear will try to come up in your eye because, you know, you just think, man, what a thing, what a thing, what a blessing. You know what? That's the Spirit. That's the soul. That's the new man in that flesh just rejoicing when he hears that. That's why good music is essential to any church. And the thing is though, a lot of times, you know, we have the problem is that we're out in the world and we're so caught up in it because we have to make a living. You've got to move in it and you've got to do all that. The world seems to creep in on the flesh and the new man kind of gets kind of pushed to the side, you know, and if you're not careful, he only gets to come out and see the light of day on Wednesdays and Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And you end up walking in the flesh the rest of the time because you're having to deal with the stinking world and, you know, and just all the issues that go on in the world. And I know the time constraints. I mean, I understand it. You know, you get up in the morning, it's everything is rush, 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 rush. You know, the kids got to get to school. I'm late for work. I've got to do this. I'll read my Bible when I get home. I'll pray a little bit later. I'll get it done. I'm going to get it done. And your intentions are good. I mean, I never would doubt somebody's intention when they say, I want to read my Bible. But the problem is that the intention is good. The execution is poor. And we have problems executing what we really need to be doing. And so what happens is we end up walking in the flesh a lot of times, and our new man gets stifled. And like the brother was singing, there's just something about that name. Have you ever been around another brother in Christ, man? You get to talk about it, and you just kind of get happy about Jesus, and you just enjoy talking about that name. Amen? I enjoy hearing the name of Jesus. Not used in vulgarity, but in lifting him up. I enjoy it. I enjoy hearing somebody say, praise God. Man, you know, there's something about the name of Jesus. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I enjoy hearing it. And but the problem is that a lot of times the flesh interrupts a lot of things. And I want to give you a message this morning on when we get caught walking in the flesh. When you get caught walking in the flesh. Take your Bible and we'll turn over to Genesis and we'll use an example, a real good example of it, and we'll go through it there. But some things that catch you when you let the flesh, and the problem is that the flesh will you'll get to walking in it, and then something will happen to where you don't need to be in the flesh. You need to be in the Spirit to be able to deal with what you're about to have to deal with, if you follow what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that a lot of times, if you're not prepared, the Bible says, be ready. You're supposed to be ready to give every man an answer. In other words, so that means when you're dealing with life and something comes up, you need to be in a spiritual position so that you can answer that problem, whatever it may be. And so you need to be able to do that, but a lot of times we're in the flesh. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of it this morning of what happens when you're walking in the flesh. Now, I hope you start over here in Genesis chapter 13. Now, of course, we're going to deal with old boy named Lot. And you can't get much more of a fleshly Christian than Lot. He's about as fleshly as he gets, and he should be a good example for us. He should be where you go back and read Lot and go, this is what I don't want to do. Like I told you, my granddaddy, it's through observation you can learn a lot. And my granddaddy told me years ago when I was little, and it's always stuck with me, he said, son, you can learn something from everyone, but how to do it wrong. In other words, you can watch somebody and say, that's exactly the way not to do it. But you can learn that by observation. Why? So you don't make the same mistake. And so there's a lot of wisdom in that statement. There's a lot of wisdom in studying Lot, because you want to study him as to what not to do. Now, if you've got your Bible in Genesis chapter 13, and we'll start with the first one in verse 10. We'll read there, and then we'll pray, and we'll get started. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, and everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Let's pray. Father, we do ask you to bless now the message, and Father, your people, and help us this morning. Father, open our minds and hearts to receive. And Father, we learn by observation. We observe the flesh and understand that we need to combat it and put it down and subdue it and crucify it daily. And Father, that we can't just do it once and think we've got it done. Father, it's something we need to battle every day and understand it and understand the battle is real. And Father, help us this morning as we walk through this and we see, and Father, that we'll understand. And in that understanding, we'll get wisdom. And Father, with the wisdom, we'll get the desire to please thee. And we ask you to bless it now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we find here, notice what Lot's lifting up his eyes, and he sees something. He sees something with his eyes. Now we are human, and when we see something with our eyes, we either like it or we don't like it. And the thing is that an example would be for us is you're looking at a new car, and you see that car. You say, "Man, I like the way that car looks." And, you know, it looks good. "Man, I like the rims. I like the color scheme. I like the seats. I like the way it looks. Our old car, we need a new car." Amen? And Lot here now is him and Abraham, his people, their workmen have had some contentions. And Abraham has had the wisdom to say, "Lot, I love you, but we just need to, either if we can't come to an agreement, we need to separate. We're too large. I'm going to let you pick. Whichever way you pick, I'll go the opposite way." And Abraham had a lot of wisdom there with a younger man. He's giving him first choice. Amen? And so Lot, he lifts up and he's just like we are. He looks to see which is going to be the better choice. Now, if you was given a choice of something, a property, and you said, "Hey, brother, you can take this property to that property," you're going to look, see which one's the best property. You're looking at it. "Man, that one's got a pond on it. You know, this one's a little more rocky." You know, and then you're looking. And Lot's looking, but he ain't praying. Just like us. When you walk in the flesh, you have the tendency not to pray over something. See, Lot, he just looks up. And he looks to the appeal of the flesh. "Oh, man, that's well watered. Look at that. Man, look at the grass. Man, I could run 100 head of cattle on 5 acres over there. It's so thick." That'd be nice, wouldn't it, brother? "And plenty of water. I'm going to pick that way, right toward Sodom and Gomorrah." Why? No prayer. When you're walking in the flesh, you have the tendency to put prayer aside. You make assumptions and judgments on your mental capacity and capability. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's going to be self-motivated, selfish, when you're walking in the flesh. Notice what Abraham did. Abraham said, "You choose. Whichever one you choose, I'll take the other." Who fared better? Abraham fared better. Even though Lot got the better piece of land. Why? Abraham had a little more wisdom. And Abraham knew, and he'd been walking with the Lord long enough to know, you don't just make snap judgments if you ain't got to. And if you do have to make snap judgments, you make sure you're prepared before you have to make that snap judgment. What I'm telling you is what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're in the Spirit. Why? Because there's going to be times when snap judgments are going to be placed before you. And if you're walking in the flesh, your judgment is going to be based in the flesh. But if you prepare for those times, if you prepare walking in the Spirit, getting yourself prepared so that when that time comes, you can make the right judgment. Because you're not going to make it in the flesh. And there I say a trick. It's not a trick. It's work. You have to work to do it. You've got to have a desire to want to do it. And if you don't have a desire to want to do it, it's not going to happen. But you've got to have a desire to want to walk in the Spirit and not make fleshly decisions. The thing is that we get so consumed with our flesh. Our flesh drives us more than we want to admit. When was the last time you bought a car and you asked God before you bought the car? Or did you just reason in your mind and say, well, I can afford this if I do this. And I'm not telling you how to buy your car or not to buy a car. I'm just trying to give you examples. Did you get down on your knees and say, Lord, do I need this car or should I make this expense? Because the Lord may tell you no. Because how many times have you done that and then something happened and you said, man, if we hadn't have bought that, we wouldn't be in this tight right here. How many times have you done that? See, now I will say this. No, I say this. It sounds mean when I say this like that. I will say this about my wife. Now, it's like, you know, I never say anything good. The setup is not even good, sis. I mean, I will say this about my wife. Now, she's tight as a Dutchman. I mean, she will make a buffalo squeal on a nickel. Now, she will. I'll give her that. And there's a lot of times I've wanted to make purchases, and she's like, no, we don't need to make that purchase. And she's talked me out of it. I mean, she has. She's talked me out of it. I'm like, oh, man, baby, we could use that, you know. And I do what, bro? She just told you no. But I'm saying, and what happened was, is because of the setup, she kept us out of trouble. Because then it would come around and go, well, you know, if we'd have bought that, we wouldn't have been able to do this. Wouldn't have been able to afford it. So there was some wisdom there in what she had. Now listen, you give honor to whom honor is due. And she's good at that. And I appreciate it. Because I know my limitations sometimes. I have had buyer's remorse on many occasions. But when you walk by the flesh is what happens. And you have a tendency to walk by sight, not by faith. Now take your Bible, look down in Genesis chapter 13, look at verse 11. Now notice what Lot, he makes the decision here. Lot chooses all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one from another. He made the decision, he looked at it, he wasn't walking by faith, he was walking by sight. He didn't pray, and he made his choice. And if you find there, you notice something else that ends up with Lot. Lot goes down there and it says in verse 12, it says, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know what happens? You find that when you start to walk and visually look with the flesh and you make decisions and you don't pray, you know what? You find that you start to become comfortable around wicked things. They don't bother you as much anymore. The shows on TV that you used to change the channel on, you're not changing them anymore. You get comfortable around worldly and wicked people. When somebody cusses, it doesn't kind of make you do that anymore. It's a slow process. It's not something that happens drastically. It just gradually works its way over time. I mean, Lot was raised around Abraham. He'd been with Abraham since he was a young man. And Abraham had took him under his wing and had him in his household, had taught him, instructed him, showed him how the business worked, everything about everything. He didn't withhold anything from Lot. He loved Lot, was concerned with Lot. He was so concerned with him that let him make the choice, figuring that he had trained him well enough and gave him enough instruction that Lot could make it on his own. And that he had learned from him enough. Listen, young people, learn from their parents, their older people, enough to listen and watch and observe and do what you was told. You know, the problem with young people is they do the opposite of what they're told. As soon as they get out of the house, get out from under mom and dad, they're going to go exactly, not all of them, but most of them go exactly the opposite of where you wanted them to go. And you're thinking, where are you going? You know I told you that ain't right. You know I told you not to act that way. You know I've told you not to do that. You know you've heard enough preaching. You've heard enough. You should have read enough Bible. You should know. And Lot was just young enough, I assume, that he just decided he's going to take off in a different direction. And ends up, what happens is you end up around wicked people and it don't bother you no more. Your manner of dress starts to change. Your manner of speech starts to change. The way you look at things start to change. Ah, that old preacher, he don't know what he's talking about. He's being bigoted. He's preaching on stuff like that. People are just people. Yeah, amen. They were just people at Sodom and Gomorrah. And guess what? There were babies at Sodom and Gomorrah. They were straight people, married, having kids, and they died in Sodom and Gomorrah. So you find here that you end up more comfortable around worldly things and around worldly and wicked people. Doesn't bother you as much anymore. Notice something else. You end up being, because you're a lukewarm Christian, you're walking in the flesh, you end up being a burden to a lot of people. Do you know that? They're always bringing you up in prayer. Pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. Now that's not a burden in far as, now don't get it the wrong way, but they're continually, you're not profitable in the fact that you're walking in the world and the spiritual people are always trying to pull you back when they could be doing other things. You become a burden. Like a baby. Always having to be picked back up. Always having to be dusted off. Paul said you ought to be eating meat and you're still drinking milk. That was Lot. Notice what happens here with Lot. He gets down there with Sodom and Gomorrah and he gets himself in trouble. Take your Bible, notice over in chapter 14, verse 11. They come in there, and these kings, and they took and raided Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, notice that Lot's no longer in his tent out there. He's in the city. So he's gotten comfortable with them. So now he's living with them, living amongst them. And he ends up in there, and they come in there, and they ransack the place, and they take Lot and all he has, and they take him captive, and they take off with him. Well, guess who has to come get him? Uncle Abraham. Uncle Abraham has to go get Lot and get him out of trouble. Christian, living, walking by the flesh, and you constantly become a burden to the church. When you shouldn't be. And you know you shouldn't be. But that's what happens sometimes. You say, don't help. Yeah, you help them. I'm not saying don't help them. I'm just showing you what happens when you walk by the flesh. You say, what? I'm saying it could happen to any of us. And none of us immune from it. But the fact is, it's still the fact that if you walk in the flesh, you're going to end up being a burden. And somebody's going to have to carry you. If they care about you, they'll just cut you loose and let you go adrift. Folks, I'm just being real with you, as they say. But the fact is that you continue to be a burden. That's what happens here. Abraham has to go rescue his nephew. And then once he gets him rescued, he still goes right back to where he was at. I tell you something else. When you start walking by the flesh, you start searching or seeking to honor men more than you honor God. Now notice over in Genesis chapter 19. Flip over to Genesis chapter 19. Now notice what Lot does. Some time has passed, you know, he's back. He's gotten reestablished in Sodom and Gomorrah. He's got him a position in the gate. He's well established in business. And you've got these two angels that have come in there. And notice that they come there to the door, and they're wanting them men to come out. And Lot goes to the door, and he notice how he talks to them. Now notice in verse 7, Genesis 19, verse 7. And he said, I pray you, brethren. Brethren. You walk by the flesh. Come on, brother. Don't act that way. I do not wicked so wickedly. Behold. Now notice this. Behold, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye unto them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. They're looking to play homage to those men of that city rather than to stand for God. Looking to appease themselves. Oh, well, you know, not now. I understand. I know how you feel, you know. But, you know, that preacher in that church, you know, just hang on. It's okay. You're trying to be more friendly with them than you are with God. You're trying to make yourself more available to them because you're afraid they won't like you for whatever reason, than you are to try to have God like you. And so, old Lot will condone what they're doing. Matter of fact, he's going to even feed their sin and sacrifice his daughters. There's a whole study in that. And let them have them than to stand. That's walking in the flesh. Lot didn't start out that way. Started out in a godly household. Started out walking with Abraham, was taught by Abraham, raised by Abraham. Watched Abraham walk and talk with God. He was around. He saw it. He was there just because his name wasn't mentioned. You know he was there. But he gets to the point that you would rather appease men. You're more concerned. You'll put away your Christianity to make the business deal. To get that new business in the zoning here in the local, you know, well, I gotta get that zoning. If I don't get that zoning, man, I gotta. You'll turn it for a business deal. You'll turn it, you know, to save face maybe with the family, the extended family, because of the way they are. You won't stand for Jesus at the Thanksgiving. When you get to Thanksgiving and your family's all together, and I hope you have a good family. Because you get all together and then they don't want to have anything to do with you. You ever had that happen because you'd stand for something? I have. I've had family say, don't even talk to me. Don't even call me no more. You're no longer considered part of this family. And that's since I've been pastor here. Don't call me. Just delete me off any of your stuff. I don't want anything else to do with you. Why? Because I won't side with the world if I'm going to stand for God. If I ain't going to call my own, I ain't calling nobody else. So what happens is that you will honor men rather than honor God, because you're more worried about saving face with them than you are with your relationship with God. That's walking in the flesh. Notice this in verse 8, he goes on and he compromises his moral standards with his two daughters. He's ready to sacrifice them to these men to do what. Notice what the statement, do whatever seems good in your eyes. Now, have you ever been around wicked people? I mean wicked people. I've been around some wicked people. I mean, when I've been around some wicked people when I was living in Miami, that they would do unimaginable wickedness that you would think that even in my lost state, I thought, this is creepy. I mean, make you not feel good, unsettled in your stomach, creepy, wicked. And you think about giving your two daughters to some men like that to do whatever they want to do. What kind of moral standards can you have? Not much. Not much if you could think of doing that. How far have you failed? You say, well, that's unattainable for me. No, it's not. You could slide so far you don't even know. That's how deadly walking in the flesh is. It says there, he loses his moral compass, his moral standing. Now notice in Genesis 19, verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which were married his daughter, and said, up, get thee out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. His testimony is non-existent. He has no validation. When he says something, you look at him and you want to laugh in his face, you're going, what? Got no testimony. It's not taken seriously. Why? Because the lost world is just like everybody else. They judge you even though they say they don't. They're the ones that'll sit there and say, judge not lest you be judged, but they'll judge you in a millisecond. And here's an example of it. The man sitting there telling him, says, place is fixing to be destroyed. We're all going to die. Get up and run. You stupid old man, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what walking in the flesh. And what happens is it comes at the most unopportune time. You know, those things happen, and then when you get in those positions, you're not able to help. Why? Because you failed where you were supposed to be. You failed in not being prepared. You failed in not having a testimony. You failed in not having a walk with God. You failed in all areas, and now God says, well, let's just find out if you can stand the test. Because God always tests you before he gives you the answers. And Lot fails the test. He fails. And guess what will happen to you? You'll fail too. And then you'll be sitting there just like Job in a bunch of ashes. But at least Job was righteous. You won't be. You walk in the flesh, you won't. And you will sit in a bunch of ashes and tears. And the people, well, you'll try to say something and people look at you and they won't give you any credence whatsoever. Hey, I tell you, he says there, and he says he's compromised his moral standards. His testimony is shot in 1914. Notice in 1915, he can't even get anybody. And when the morning was arose, then the angels hastened, Lot said, hasten, Lot, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Lot was so backslidden that he hadn't let one convert to the Lord. Matter of fact, he had lost family members. Now you take that in comparison, if you want to take the time when you get a chance, you go back over there and look at chapter 18 and 32 with Abraham, where Abraham's talking to the Lord, perchance, Lord, if there's this many. Hoping that the training that Abraham had given Lot had paid off to some extent. You know what a mom and a dad, a godly mom and a dad, you know what they're wanting to do? They're wanting to see if some of that training that they've given you pays off a little bit. That you ain't going to end up like a Lot. You ain't going to end up over in Sodom and Gomorrah. You ain't going to end up over there looking like the lost world. You're not going to sit there and support the lost world's causes. But you're going to have some standards. You're going to be able to stand for something. You'll have some gumption. Hey, you'll have a testimony of some kind. But you won't if you walk in the flesh. You won't have nothing. Matter of fact, what you have is going to be taken away from you. Just like Lot. Lot is a good picture of a backslidden Christian at the judgment seat of Christ. Guess what happens? Everything he owns goes up in flames. You don't have nothing to show. When he leaves that city, he don't have nothing. Matter of fact, even his wife is turned to salt. He has nothing. He has no heritage to show. His heritage is Moab and them, the Moabites. And there ain't nothing ends up good about them up there in that cave through that incestual affair that happens. Because what? Because he never were taught moral standards. And they end up, so Lot's lineage is messed up. Can you imagine that? Can you think now how much you love your grandkids and you want to see your great-grandkids and you want to see all them? What if you just keep walking in the flesh what you think those grandkids and great-grandkids and they're going to look like? They're going to be messed up worse than a football bat. And that's the problem. It's a generational thing. Walking in the flesh. How important is it for me to walk in the flesh? It's extremely important for you not to walk in the flesh. It can't be uttered or enunciated or hammered hard enough because of the effect of it. Walks in the flesh, he takes his testimony shot, and not only that, he's soul winning, nobody's going to listen to him. And notice here in verse 19 and verse 15, they're telling him, get up, get away. And notice in verse 16, he says, and while he lingered, he's lingering about what? Not wanting to obey God. Oh, I'd go to church, brother, but, you know, it's my only day I have to rest. I would come, but I just don't feel real good today. My stomach's a little upset. Yeah, I know I should have the kids in Sunday school. I know I should have them there, but I know they need to participate, but... But. Walking in the flesh. Preacher, can you pray for my little girl? She's having troubles. Yeah, I'll pray for her. And I would. And then you think, man, a lot of that could have been avoided. And I know good families that's had kids that go, it's still not, but you got a lot better chance the other way. If you live right and do right, you got no chance if you don't. I can almost guarantee you what's going to happen. They linger about obeying God's word. And then verse 19, 18, you find that you just end up flat out denying God's word. He sits there and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Now, they just explained to him what's fixing to happen. And it came to pass when they, verse 17, we brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither say thou unto this in all the plain, escape unto the mountain, lest thou be consumed. What did he say? Oh, no, not so. Not so. You get to the point that you won't even believe God's word. You say, I'd never get, yeah, you say that. I've seen Christians that were exactly that way. I know of a pastor's son that's exactly that way right now. Used to street preach, win souls, went to the jail. Right now, if you talk to him about this book, he'd go, married to a lost woman, kids are lost. I'm dead serious. This was a pastor's son. I know them. What? Walking in the flesh. All right, let's get a song. Stand with me if you would. You want to be real careful about walking in the flesh. The flesh, if you let it rise up, even a little bit, that head rises up, you need to crucify it and nail it right back down.